You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How about them Cowboys?
And the Packers are piling it on the Cowboys.
This is one of my most surprises since I've been involved in sport, period.
The Rich Eisen Show.
This game is over. Oh, the Detroit Lions have won it.
We're playing that Sunday back here at home, guys.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Greenlight pod host Chris Long joined us in hour number one. We've got two more playoff games joining us, for us to enjoy, pardon me, coming up later on today on CBS, 4:30 Eastern. They're still digging snow out of Highmark Stadium in Western New York. Should be ready for the Bills and the Steelers to play a playoff game that got pushed from Sunday to Monday because of the awful weather that hit Western New York. And then after that, on the Worldwide Leader and all of their stations, it'll be the Monday Night Football Super Wild Card Weekend finale between the Bucks and the Eagles. And then we'll be talking about it on Overreaction Monday, our podcast tomorrow. We didn't want to do the podcast in our usual Monday slot and release it during playoff games and not speak about a third of Super Wild Card Weekend because it was going on. So we're going to have the segment today coming up in about 18 minutes time. So there's still lots to overreact to, Christopher, I imagine.
Obviously.
Okay.
Go.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is here as well.
Good morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, we gave you a group hug to start the show. Did it work for you?
I feel great.
Okay,
good.
Oh. He's a liar.
Why do you want me to feel like down or sad? I don't. I mean, it is what it is. Like, when you already knew the outcome, it made the end result a little easier.
That's a screen grab of us coming to give you a group hug to start the show. You look like you really mean it, Chris. Mike, why are you pausing like you just caught like a 200-pound marlin? You know,
I mean, Mike doesn't want anybody to be happy.
A foul
Rich,
ball at a baseball game, like, yeah, look at me.
He wanted Michigan to lose. He wanted Dallas to lose. He doesn't want any of us to be happy.
At least Michael Irvin won Pictionary on game day morning yesterday. He had that going for him.
That was great.
Here's the crazy thing. You know, he chose the Packers in the picks contest because the day before, we all chose the Browns to start our picks for the playoffs. Everybody chose the Browns. All on camera. So I thought to myself as we were going down the row, I thought to myself, well, this is going to be used on social media against us. And so if it is going to be used against us, we might as well look good. So I said, let's all pose for a picture, but like put it all up on the screen and we're all like, you know, we all posed. Like we might as well show our best sides if it's going to be used against us. And sure enough, it was used against us. You know, oh, yeah. And so when we were going down the road and all choosing Dallas, Irv was like, just in the same way you got a bad feeling when everyone was choosing the Browns, right?
This is all week. Everyone thinks the Browns, man, not good.
Right. So Irv chose the Packers to the point where our, you know, a graphic staff needed a second to change the graphic to go underneath Michael's name from the Dallas Star, which we all knew he was going to choose, to the Packers logo. So this now might linger the rest of the playoffs. If Michael wins the postseason picks contest on game day morning, it could be because he lone wolfed the Packers.
Went against his own team.
Yes.
So
wow, that's dirty.
That's like that line from Raging Bull. Even if you lose, you win. Yeah. So that seems to be it.
Ball.
Yeah. I know.
When you lose, I win.
There you go. LeVar, right. Even if you lose, you win. Did LeVar know he's quoting Raging Bull when he said that?
I guarantee he did not.
Probably not. Maybe. I don't want to shortchange LeVar.
I didn't know it was from Raging Bull.
Yeah,
I mean, until a couple months ago.
Yeah, Joe Pesci's telling his brother, you know, Jake LaMotta, that, you know, it doesn't matter if you win or lose this fight. It all leads to a championship fight that you got to get.
Even when you lose, I win.
So even if you win, you win. Even if you lose, you win. Anyway, all right. Brendan in Athens, Ohio. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey. Let's take your call.
He's up.
You there, Brendan? Oh, boy.
Sorry, I was muted. I'm so sorry, sir.
What's up?
First off, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. I'm 21 from Ohio, and this is a dream of mine to be able to talk to you.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? Well, I guess dreams come true. What's going on in your mind, Brendan? What's happening?
So I'm a lifelong Michigan fan in the second great state, Ohio, Michigan being the first. You know, this past week has been probably the best week as a sports fan in my life.
I bet.
You know, I got to watch in Houston with my dad, the Michigan Wolverines win the national championship while my buddies at Ohio State sat on their couches and watched nothing. I mean, they weren't watching it because they're
petty. Nothing.
But,
I'm enjoying this phone call immensely.
I watched my Lions last night go out and, you know, do something they haven't done before, which is, you know, win the game that, you know, they're supposed to win, you know. In years prior, like, you know, in 2014 with Brandon Pettigrew and Dallas, you know, they never really won those big games. So it's just unbelievable. I can't believe this past week has been crazy. And I just want to hear more about your thoughts of the game. And
sure.
You know.
All right.
Yeah.
I will give it to you. Thanks for the call, Brendan. Greatly appreciate that. That's Brendan in Ohio. I was thinking of folks like Brendan, be honest with you, last night, because I know so many Lions fans from my time in Ann Arbor. So many. You know, when they were trying to restore the roar. I remember in 87 or 88, the Jets came and played the Lions in the Silver Dome. And I went to that game. And when we walked into the Silver Dome, I swear to you, they told us, take any seat you want. I'm serious. That happened. We sat 10 rows from the Jet back of behind the Jet sideline. We chose any of them. We chose them right on the 50. That's awesome. Walked in. We didn't buy tickets in the 50. And by the way, but there wasn't, you know, like game time tickets or anything back then.
Right.
We had to go up to the box office, pick up our tickets, you know, paper tickets, and then hand them to an usher who basically looked at us like, what are you, crazy? Just choose whatever seat you want. I swear to you, that happened. That happened. And then, of course, you know, the Wayne Fonts era, the Restore the Roar, which is the last time that they won a divisional crown in a home playoff game in 91. And I was already gone. But, of course, I keep in touch with a ton of people from my Michigan days. And a handful of them are diehard Lions fans, and they cannot believe what is happening right now. Didn't they show, what, an 89-year-old gentleman who's a 66-year season ticket holder?
Yeah.
And Tirico gave terrific voice. He lives in Ann Arbor. He gives terrific voice. He gave a great voice to what folks there are feeling right now, that they cannot believe that the Lions are not only good, but good enough, and also to be feared. To be feared. And I think Dan Campbell is the personification of that. And you know, their quarterback, who here in Los Angeles, kind of put the Bambi in Rams, you know what I mean? And he's got the red ass in him, too. I wonder if he's picking that up from his coach a little bit now. You know, I'm sure he's the same guy that he was here in Los Angeles, but the throws he's making, you give him a clean pocket. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, this is kind of crazy. It's kind of like, you know, when you get fined for a flag, you didn't get called for a penalty, but you get fined. He doesn't make the Pro Bowl, but he makes the All-Pro list. Okay, sounds good. It's a popularity contest, I guess, for the Pro Bowl, but that's an All-Pro wide receiver. I'm pleased to say, even though I thought the Rams were going to win this game, and they came close,
I'm pleased to say, didn't I tell you last year Amon-Ra St. Brown was a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, and he's now a first-team All-Pro?
Sun God.
The Sun God is dynamite. And the rest of those receivers, along with Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, it looked like it was going to be a Gibbs game last night,
man,
too.
He is so good.
They got the thunder and the lightning in the backfield.
So
Montgomery
fast.
Brings the wood, and Gibbs brings the lightning. And the line is really stout. And then there's my guy. You want to change a culture. And this is what's so cool about the subset and that Venn diagram of Michigan fans in this circle and Lions fans in this circle. They certainly interact. Trust me, there's a lot of Spartan in that fan base as well that hopefully is enjoying the week, but not as much as Wolverine fans are right now. But Aiden Hutchinson is a culture changer.
Yeah.
Michigan, I felt it when he started balling out. A couple of his sacks, as Chris Long pointed out last night, his two sacks were just touching Stafford when he, you know,
yeah, the first one, Stafford tripped over his own feet.
Right.
Yeah,
and then he touched him.
Yeah.
Cooper was like, that's a sack for Hutchinson,
yeah,
Dad. And I'm like, yeah, you're right.
And he gets credit.
And then there was another one where he was stumbling for the line of scrimmage and fell about a yard short, and then he touched him there. But the one was, again, third down last night. Rams are driving. They need a field goal to take a lead. They could play with the clock, kick that field goal, take the lead, and maybe not leave enough time left for Goff. And Hutchinson gets to Stafford to the point where he's held. And that changed a lot of the dynamic, obviously. I'll say this for Rams fans. Puka Nacua was held on that third down attempt to try and get a first. What looked like one of those famed dig routes. He definitely had his jersey, his 17 jersey, yanked. Handful of missed calls in this game.
They had a lot going this game, I thought.
And so... put it all together, though, the Lions came up with that first down when they did get the opportunity to get the ball back, and the Rams only had one timeout left. They got two first downs to wrap it, and the Lions move on. And I can only think of all those Lions fans that I met on campus all those years ago, right? We talked about how I looked at the Michigan Wolverines championship as a marking of time. My God. There was no 97 for Lions fans like there was a split title for me. There was no 97. This is what Dan Campbell had to say about the atmosphere in that building after the game.
That is arguably the best environment I've ever been in. That was absolutely electric. And I think what's crazy is I was coming down for pregame warm-up, and you could just feel it. It was humming. The building was humming. And I swear you could feel the electricity down the tunnel from where I was coming down, and it only just grew from there. So, man, our fans showed up in a big way. That was clearly, and I thought, man, for 2 years now, that building's been rocking. It was different today. That was a whole nother level, which is what the playoffs are all about. So our fans showed up in a big way. They helped us win this game.
Nobody's laughing at Dan Campbell's first press conference anymore, right? It's now used as sort of a, well, this is where we learned that he's just a different cat. Because, in all honesty, the Rams took a hunk out of him. And then they bit off both their kneecaps at the end. Because that was a physical battle. That was one of my favorite wild card games in a long time. Because Stafford showed up in that environment slinging it. When he came out with that no-look sidearm, I thought, okay, he's locked. That was after Goff started the game with the first of three 75-yard touchdown drives to start the game. And the Rams stayed in it, made it 21-17 at half. The margin of difference was the first drive that the Rams had stalled inside the 10-yard line. And that was part of their bugaboo. You remember they lost a game in Cincinnati this year. There were some red zone problems. We'll talk about the Rams later on. But for the moment, the Lions took Stafford's best punch. McVay had some, and Nacua. Boy, did they take some really tough punches from the Rams.
Yep.
But they wound up doing exactly what Dan Campbell had to say when he first took the gig. And I really thought, this guy's not serious. He's not serious people, you know. And now you got to take him seriously. Because this whole eligible gate thing that you thought was going to cost him a second playoff game at home.
Over.
That's over.
Yep.
The Packers. You have to thank the Packers for that in Detroit. Isn't that interesting? Strange bedfellows. What, the enemy of your enemy is your friend?
Correct.
So they get one, and it's going to be, you know, pretty wild when we find out who wins tonight's game's got to go to Detroit. And instead, had the Rams won that, tonight's game would have been for the right to host the Rams. Last night, had the Rams pulled it off, tonight's game, the Eagles could have wound up watching the Cowboys get eliminated and still host a playoff game on divisional playoff weekend. We came that close to it.
The Rams could have hosted the NFC Championship game.
I know, against the Packers.
Yeah.
That's crazy stuff happens. We're finding out,
yeah,
you know, when a 7 seed is the first winner in a conference,
yeah,
playoff race. Ugh. In a conference tournament, sorry, if the TJ. First team to win it is a 7 seed, you know, crazy things can happen. They become a step closer to reality, but the Lions eventually prevailed. And I cannot congratulate all those Michiganders that I met years ago. And honestly, the only thing that would be for me is if the Jets, who, as you know, have not made the playoffs, kids have been born in bar mitzvahed since the Jets last made the playoffs. And so for me, Michigan winning a national championship and then the Jets winning a playoff game to get one step closer to the Super Bowl, that would have been something. But still, the Jets have been to the playoffs and won a playoff game in the last 30 years. The Lions have not. And to them, I say, congratulations. Soak it in. I'm glad that we got that call. There's a lot of us in the state of Ohio. I'm going to need you in Canton in about 8 months. 7 months. Six and change.
Yeah.
I've got 6 months and change to get my security plans ready for the jacket dinner in Canton, Ohio as I show up a national champion. Oh, my goodness gracious. They better open a window because it's going to get stuffy in there.
Does that Civic Center even have windows?
Say it again.
Does that Canton Civic Center even have windows?
Look at that. We'll talk about the Michigan situation later on in this hour. His gym is just up the street, apparently.
I haven't seen a report that he's here. That he was meeting.
Apparently he's here.
Oh, he is here. Interesting.
Apparently he's here.
Would you go say hi?
I'd love to.
Yeah.
Just pop Stop over. In and say, what's up?
We'll
talk about that as J.J. McCarthy led a host of Michigan Wolverines to their social media accounts to announce that they're parting for the draft.
Which also funny, while he's here, apparently the Fab Five is together at Chrysler Arena game right now for the first time since they played together.
Look at us.
What? Yeah, there's a picture on right now of Jalen, C. Webb, Jimmy King, and Ray Jackson all on the bench or on the courtside.
With Juwan coaching.
Right.
Well, this is glorious.
Well, as you know, we've been waiting for a while.
Yeah, shout out Larry Lage has the...
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Yeah, about 20 minutes ago.
Huh. So Michigan wins the national championship in football, has a parade that leads to Chrysler Arena on Saturday night.
Yep.
Okay. We'll talk about that later. We'll get that photograph later on.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and more of your phone calls. Overreaction Monday as well. Albert Breer, top of hour number 3 with the latest on Harbaugh. And what might Jerry Jones be thinking at this moment? Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick 2 players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead, this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi guys, Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposed to going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, back here on our show. So,
Buffalo,
things got so out of hand between the Packers and the Cowboys. TJ, you second windowed what? You were watching on a second TV what?
Godfather 2.
Godfather Part 2.
Yeah, it was on
TV, right?
It was on
so
TV.
You're watching that sound up.
Yeah.
And then you're watching the game sound down?
I mean, turned down
Burkhart and Olsen?
The sound was on, but
both?
The game was up higher. I have a tendency to do that.
The game was up higher. Double sound.
And I was getting ready for...
Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got them.
So it's like Frank Pantangeli is taking one for the team on one screen.
I just showed Mike.
And then your team was taking it for...
It was the scene where Frank was in court, right?
Mike was in court. Congress.
No. He's at the hearing. Frank Pantangeli, for the hearing where obviously Michael Corleone is speaking in front of the Senate committee.
Yes, that scene was
that heavy. Senator Geary from Utah was supposed to be helpful because he once upon a time got him out of a very tough spot.
It was 27-0 at that point because I took a picture and you could see both of them.
As long as you didn't do what Frank did in the tub. No. By the end, spoiler alert.
Definitely not.
Cowboys fans, there are some people, I mean, the usual social media posts of why do fans destroy their expensive television sets?
I don't know,
over?
I'm here for all of them.
I mean,
why? They're so funny.
What are you doing?
Because you're going nuts. You're so wound up anyway.
You're
just like, and you just start punching stuff.
Or just take, if you want to destroy your television, give it to charity. Don't destroy it.
Right.
Feel better about yourself.
People who then
that
like
your team's losing makes somebody's life better.
What are you
people
nuts?
Then like burn their jerseys. You're going to spend $100 on the jersey.
Nothing's worse than Skip.
I know. Oh, today he was talking about
back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All rise, Terzo in Iowa. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Terzo? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, my guys? Happy to see you guys back on the air, man. This weekend was a lot of fun to watch some football, especially when it was minus 10 degrees out and we have 4-foot snowdrift. And no internet in my office, so I'm working from the satellite office, also known as Carl's.
Okay.
Satellite office.
That's where you're doing it. That's where you're doing your caucusing? You're caucusing at Carl's? Is that what you're doing?
No. There's no caucusing for me.
Okay.
I kind of swing in the other direction, so there's nothing for me to be doing at this point.
Okay.
So, I'm just kind of enjoying the day until we get to watch a little football at 3:30.
Good to know, Terzo.
TJ, I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to give you a little hug, my man. Give you a little hug. I know I sent out a little welfare check for you yesterday.
I heard about that on Twitter.
That was tough to watch.
for me, I like to, you know, I just root for good games. I want to see great football. And that was a tough one to watch. But watching Matthew Stafford last night go against Jared Goff, that was exciting. And Stafford, some of those throws that he was making, those arm angles, he is so impressive. And the tight spiral that he has, he's a great quarterback, man. I sometimes think that it kind of gets lost in some, you know, some people's narratives, but he's quite impressive.
Dude, he is. Thanks for the call, Terzo, and I appreciate it. Stay warm, stay and you know, stay hydrated as you watch football in Carl's. It's a shout out, Carl's. They're in the great state of Iowa.
I got to meet my lawyer. Where? He's at Carl's.
Honestly, you know how the NFL films fame shot of a tight spiral and you widen out. Seriously, tell me who throws a better spiral than Matthew Stafford consistently.
Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, we're beginning to see that.
Man.
He's only got a dozen more years to go to match Stafford right now.
Stafford's near the top of the list. He throws one of the prettiest balls.
Matthew Stafford is no doubt on a Hall of Fame path right now. I fully believe it. He's got statistics for it. He's got a trophy for it. If he gets another trophy, I think we're done, personally.
No doubt. He's going to have a lot of records.
Wide receivers in the Hall of Fame that he threw to, right? Triple crown season for Calvin.
Yep.
Cooper Kupp, triple crown season for him. Who is his quarterback? Puka Nacua sets the rookie receiving record for catches and yards. Who is his quarterback? Right? He makes the guys around him better. He takes the Rams and wins a Super Bowl in his first season there. Good dude, too, man. This is what he had to say after the game last night. It had to be tough, you know, to go into this stadium and try to one and done everybody. There were some boos for him, right, at the start? Were there some boos? And then they were chanting his name at the end. He came running out, and there was somebody who was, you know, screaming boos and flipping birds. Well, it's not like Bulls fans going to, you know, Jerry Krause.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it. I don't know. But I think at the end they were chanting his name. They were chanting Goff's name, you know. It's unfortunate that his return is in a game where now we got to turn our back on you.
Sure.
But this is what he had to say about Goff winning the battle, the first ever playoff battle between two quarterbacks that were traded for one another.
It was a good playoff atmosphere. You know, obviously it was a loud crowd. I thought we did a great job communicating the whole day. It was a good playoff atmosphere.
They were chanting Garrett's name and you were booing you. How strange. And you were chanting game for him?
I don't know. You're testing old man's memory here. You almost hope they would, right? I mean, the guy's, he's their quarterback. He's playing great. He led them to a win today. I'm happy for him. I thought he played excellent today. he's leading an offense that's playing at a really good clip right now, and they should be proud of him. They should be cheering for him. Excuse me? It's a playoff game. You know, I'm not surprised that they were excited about cheering for their team. And I'm not too worried about, you know, anybody's personal feelings towards me that was sitting in the stands.
Look, man, you can't blame him for going into the ownership's office and say, can we end this now? Can we go? Can you get me somewhere else? After all that time, I mean, if people still harbor any of that ill will, I mean, let's enjoy the playoff win that you have over him, you know. And look, 25 of 36, 367 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. Good Lord.
He looked amazing
yesterday. He is so good. And I know there's no banners for we were better than anybody thought we would be. But the Rams were exactly that. And, you know, you could make a case that, you know, this is going to be like less needs first. Would you say with Sean McVay, like straight up
an actual
normal
draft?
You know what I mean? Where they have full complement and they reloaded supposedly when they didn't have enough draft picks and they're supposed to pay the salary cap reaper. They won 10 games and made the playoffs and they found another cup. Their cup runneth over.
He's better than Cooper Kupp right now.
I mean, dude.
Yeah.
Although it does look like Higbee might have blown his knee out because on that hit he took low. By the way, I will echo what Chris Collinsworth said in the game. You name any tight end.
Oh yeah.
Go high. Don't go at my knees.
Gronk had been saying that years ago.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But the Rams they look great. Kyren Williams, the offensive line, and the coaches obviously terrific. Great job by the Rams this year. Kobe, you guys thought you season ticket holders, you know, thought that letter that Kevin Demoff set out in March was a white flag.
Seemed like
just
the time.
Hey, we're CYAing to you season ticket holders. Yep. We trade Jalen Ramsey and we're not gonna, you know, hey, stick with us when we stink this year. They made the playoffs and they damn near beat the second best team, as it looks like, in the NFC. In their house.
And you mentioned the drafters. They have 10 draft picks coming up this year, including a first rounder, finally.
Wait.
So they got a lot of compensatory picks. So they've
right, because
they moves.
Because they hire diverse people who then get hired. Brad Holmes, the general manager of the team that just beat them. A perfect example. Okay, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's do this, our podcast version of Overreaction Monday, because we didn't want to do it with two NFL playoff games being played while we're recording it and thus not included in that. We're doing that first thing Tuesday morning, meaning it's kind of old school. Overreaction Monday on a Monday.
Hey.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
All right, Christopher, how about it?
Hey, guys. Everybody good?
We're good. TJ, don't ask him.
TJ, I'm sorry.
It's all good, baby.
Dak has hit his ceiling as Cowboys franchise quarterback.
I can't sit here and say that's an overreaction. I know. That's an overreaction. I'm not going to sit here and say it'll never happen there. I totally get why you're saying it. I totally understand
that was unacceptable.
He even admitted he sucked. And that's the words he used, not mine. I'm quoting him. So I can't sit here and say he'll never do it. I can't.
With Dallas? I'd go with somewhere
correct.
Else.
Correct. No,
maybe he needs a change of scenery.
Or what if Belichick comes in and infuses him in a way with a mentality that Garrett nor McCarthy ever did? Just throwing that out there.
Dak's going to be 31 this summer.
How about a crazy ass? You want to talk about something crazy ass? What if Tomlin shows up there?
Now we're talking.
Well, I'm just saying, like, because, and I'm not, this is apropos of nothing or that I know anything. But if the Steelers lose today, and many Steelers fans get their wish, and Tomlin's free, why in the world wouldn't Dallas say, come on down here? And suddenly he's hit his ceiling. That's what I'm saying. It's just, and I'm throwing it out here because we never could have thought last week in the first spin of the coaching carousel would spin that way, that would be off its axis. What if Vrabel puts on a cowboy hat? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm just saying. Like, let's, or whatever happens there, McCarthy stays, they dial up the plays, and something else happens where they draft somebody who's so damn special, takes him the distance, and maybe a running back, because Pollard did not provide the punch that I thought it would be. I'm not blaming him. There's enough to go around. I'm just saying that I can't sit here today and say this is a proper, complete, and total accurate way of looking at it. So I'll call this an overreaction at the moment. What else? I know you disagree, but I get it.
It's fine.
You know, Chris, just to jump in real quick.
Yes, please. You're the Cowboy fan.
Back in 1998, I came to visit L.A. for the first time. Fell in love with it. Went back home to Pittsburgh. Stayed in Pittsburgh for a year, and I was just not happy. I loved Pittsburgh, but I could sense, man, like I saw something that made me go, maybe I should be there. and I went and had Chinese food for lunch. And my fortune cookie, which I still have to this day, said, sometimes a change of scenery makes all the difference in the world. And 4 weeks later, I left Pittsburgh and I came to L.A. And I'm just saying, I felt this way with Romo. I'm not sure if I'm here with Dak yet, but sometimes a change of scenery does make all the difference. But it reverts back to this. Who do you bring in to replace these people? And that's the problem.
Interesting.
Trade up to number one.
I appreciate that 2 cents. Now, just as a little pushback, and then we'll get on. Maybe, just maybe, you were more comfortable in Los Angeles rather than Pittsburgh is because in L.A., no one would say, oh, that's the guy who once sold me my shoes at Foot Locker. And they could do that back in Pennsylvania.
No, I'd love being a Foot Locker man. Are you tripping? I used to get top shelf. I never heard of top shelf liquor until I went to Chauncey's one night. And our local pharmaceutical distributor who used to come to the store was like, it's the Foot Locker guys.
My bad.
Get us top shelf liquor.
By the way, what I said was an overreaction.
Focus. Guys, focus. Focus.
What
Mike,
else?
Mike McDaniel's on the hot seat this week.
That's crazy. Let's move on. There are definite improvements that can be made. I want to get Kurt Warner on the show. We were talking about this very subject matter that I'm about to broach. Not that McDaniel is on the hot seat, but what he brought up on Twitter is that the concepts that Tua is presented with offensively does not give him a comfort level or a better option when number one is covered. Number two, number three, progressions. He thinks that there's an issue with the scheme, which we're not hearing a lot about. So I want to bring him on to give more expert voice to it than I'm giving it while paraphrasing it. And so there's room for improvement. And I think McDaniel is smart enough to know that. But yeah, 2 playoff appearances and getting one and done and different quarterbacks, Skylar Thompson last year, Tua this year. How about let's just get it at home and see?
I mean, that
loss, I know. That loss to the Bills, that loss
to
the. But let's not also, again, they were a shadow of themselves on defense because of Phillips and Chubb getting.
Well, they didn't lose on Saturday because of the defense. They couldn't do anything.
Well, it's also negative 30 degrees, and they weren't used to it.
Win your home game. Win your home game.
I don't think he's on the hot seat. What else?
Rashee Rice is going to be a top 10 wide receiver next year.
I like that. I don't think that's an overreaction. I'll take it. I'll take it. He showed up, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Most receiving yards by a Kansas City wide receiver in a playoff game since Tyreek Hill's buck 50 against the Bills in that famed divisional playoff game where they got those 13 seconds they needed and then went to overtime and won it.
This kid's a baller,
and
man.
He is the he's gotten the most receiving yards of a Kansas City Chiefs, I think, in a Kansas City Chiefs playoff game. Period. Not named Tyreek or Travis. I think that stat is correct. I have it somewhere here, and I'll get it accurately while I say that. I'll buy that. I don't know who I'm taking out of the top 10, but I also didn't think Justin Jefferson wouldn't be a top 10 receiver this year because of how injured he was. So I'll go buy that. And ask you to move on, if you don't mind.
Let's go back to Dallas, where, guys, it's clear.
What are you laughing about?
You're just like, move on, if you don't mind.
No, I'm trying to be, oh, here it is. Here's the stat.
Oh, go ahead.
Most receiving yards by a Chiefs player of the Patrick Mahomes era.
Oh, got it.
Not named Tyreek or Travis, so there you have it. What else, Chris?
Guys, it's clear that Aaron Rodgers was holding the Packers back his last few years in Green Bay.
His last few years in Green Bay, he won the MVP twice.
Yeah, how'd he do in the playoffs? Stunk.
Dude, this is a great, great example of what it sounds like to overreact to something. So Jordan Love made throws that Aaron Rodgers didn't, and thus he was the one holding them back.
Did you see the touchdown to Romeo Doubs?
Dude, it was beautiful. He did some incredible things. Albert Breer is going to come on in hour number three and tell some stories about what he heard from behind the scenes about just how good some of these throws were by Jordan Love. He put that in his MMQB.
Rodgers was holding them back in the playoffs
But Chris, when you say that, so putting Jordan Love in his first or second year, he would have made those throws while he's the MVP. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP.
Should he really have been MVP?
Oh God, come on, dude. Let's not listen. I'm up for talking about Rodgers in a critical manner when he deserves it. But that's
But he's pretty bad. He was pretty bad in the playoffs his last few
years. Well, he missed some throws, yeah, that Jordan Love didn't appear to miss. But it was also a tight game. Let's see what happens against the same Niners team.
Aaron Rodgers is also doing Rodgers. It at home. Aaron Rodgers had home games
lost. Let's see. Okay.
All right.
What else?
Packers, Lions, NFC Championship game. Book it.
Book it. I'm not booking that just yet. I'm not booking it. I think the Lions make the NFC Championship game. I think they win it at home against either one of the teams that are going to show up there. I think the Eagles are, they might flip the switch tonight. If they don't, I don't think the Bucs are better than the Lions in that building. And I certainly think that the Eagles are enough, even if they flip a switch, that the Lions shut them out. I mean, shut them down. Not out. Shut them down and kick them out. So I think the NFC Championship game is there. The Niners getting one and done by the Packers is possible. I'm not booking it. Book it is an overreaction. What else?
D'Amico Ryans showed why he should be coach of the year.
Okay. Yeah. I'll buy it. He's terrific. He's been nothing short of awesome.
What a home run. They've done nothing but hit on all these moves.
They've hit on all of it. Yep. Give Caserio and obviously the front office, you know, and the ownership, give it up. They identified D'Amico and said, let's go get him. It certainly helped what he did in San Francisco, in addition to the fact that he's a Houston Texan former player and he knows the area and like, met his wife there. I mean, it was an obvious hire. I'm glad that they didn't make it more difficult than it needed to be. But yeah, I'll buy that. That's not an overreaction.
We need one more.
Okay.
All right, we'll get one more.
All right, last one, guys. All right, we're all idiots for thinking the Browns should trade Deshaun and keep Flacco.
What were we thinking?
Yeah, we kind of missed on that one.
Well, the Flacco sauce, man. It was great.
We were great
in on it while it happened.
Guys, it was a moment in time.
It was so fun. Okay?
It was
a moment in time.
It was. And to the point where we're like, how in the world are they going to bring Deshaun back?
Do I not? Serious people.
Yeah, I mean, we're admitting that. I mean, I would say not serious people is better than idiots.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little harsh. That might be an overreaction, calling us idiotic.
Text-wise, it just fit better on the...
Feel it.
All right, we missed on that one.
I mean, it's not we. It's
However, I will ask this. You know, we're talking about how... some of the worst trades in the history of the NFL are afoot these days, yeah. Right? Where does acquiring Deshaun Watson for a bunch of first-round draft choices and then losing to the team that traded you Deshaun in the playoffs rank while Deshaun is hurt and watching Joe Flacco attempt it and throw back-to-back pick sixes in a playoff game, first guy since Rich Gannon did it in the Super Bowl years ago for the Raiders? Where does that rank? And you don't have a first-round pick again next year, and the Texans still were able to use a first-round pick that you gave them to get up to get Will Anderson to go 2-3 and get D'Amico Ryans and then look so damn good moving on. Where does that rank in terms of worst trades?
It might be the worst.
So ever. Watson's got to come back, and he's got to prove that sense wrong. But we were off on that one.
Yeah, just a little bit.
That's not an overreaction. Again, Overreaction Monday pod. Look for it wherever you get your pods. First thing Tuesday morning, we'll have all six NFL playoff games in our quiver for that. Wherever you get your pods. And then Susie and Amy will have What the Football on Tuesday as well. Albert Breer is going to be joining us top of hour number three. When we come back, more of your phone calls, and then we'll take a look at what's going on in my... In my national champion campus with the head coach Jim Harbaugh perhaps being out here in California talking to the Chargers. Back here on our show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I love looking down and seeing all phone lines lit.
I mean, Monday after two-thirds divisional round. I like the 2-2-2.
It's, you know, I shouldn't say it's funny because it's weather related.
Yeah.
Nothing funny about that.
No, of course not. But.
That next week there is what happened yesterday which is a late afternoon playoff game leading into a night game. That's the way it's going to go on Sunday divisional weekend. And it never used to be that way. It used to be a 1 o'clock Eastern and then the 4 in the afternoon Eastern, until 1 year, the Chiefs and the Steelers 1 o'clock game got moved to 8 o'clock due to weather problems. And I think it showed everyone in the league office, oh, so we can have a night game on divisional Sunday too.
Right.
That's the way it is from now on.
Yep.
I'm wondering if that is going to be the case this time around. Although I proffer to say CBS would prefer to have a 1 o'clock Eastern Sunday game than a 4:30 Monday. Although today is a holiday.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and the NBA must be like, really?
There's NBA games on right now.
I know.
NBA,
you know what I mean?
Sixers are playing
early. Yeah.
So, I don't know. We may find out, like, if Wild Card Weekend does land on Martin Luther King Monday every single year, having a doubleheader on Monday might be the way to go.
Yeah.
We'll see. Sometimes, what is necessity is the mother of invention?
That's what they say.
So maybe that's going to happen again. We'll see. But we'll talk about it. We got two games to talk about Tuesday. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free tonight, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you've been hopefully streaming every single Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate digital platforms. Tonight, Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner in Tampa. I'll be in the studio all season, as I've been all season long, for Monday night for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take some phone calls. Promise you, in hour number three, Albert Breer coming up. But my University of Michigan Wolverines, it was 1 week ago tonight that they made my world. And I've been enjoying it, honestly. The air is fresher.
Really? You barely talked about it.
The wine tastes better. Food just explodes in your mouth. It's just great.
Oh, God. What is going on?
I'm just living my best life. It's so awesome. I'm hearing nothing but just tears, and I'm sending all that, the famed GIF. Is it from When Harry Met Sally, the Billy Crystal handing the box of tissues,
Yeah, I think
so. Is that what it's from? Oh, I've been using that GIF on all the Ohio State fans that have shown up on my timeline, whether it's they've added it me or somehow it winds up in my time. I'm really enjoying it. It's just great. It's awesome. And sure, yeah, I'm seeing all the stuff about, J.J. McCarthy's going pro and so many others are. And what does that mean for Michigan next year? I'll deal with that then. And then there's my coach. They had a parade down State Street on Saturday, and then they met at Chrysler Arena and had an event, Chrysler Arena, at night. And I know Jim's apparently out here talking to the Chargers today, and if that's what he wants, then God bless him. He raised the banner. We've got the banner forever. He's made my life. As an 18-year-old in college, as my first quarterback, and now a 54-year-old man, father of three, this is great. If that's what he wants. If he wants to stay... Now, this is where it leads me to stop and pause, because the athletic director, Ward Manuel, another former Bo Schembechler player, when the crowd was chanting at Harbaugh 10 more years on Saturday night in Chrysler Arena.
Wow.
10 more years. Ward Manuel, the athletic director, stepped up, pointed to Harbaugh, who sat just a few feet away from where he was standing, according to the Detroit News, and said, quote, "I'm working on getting this man a new contract. I promise you that." Now, that was interesting phrasing. What do you mean by getting him a new contract? Because I would think one would be just sitting there for him to sign. Like, hey, Jim, money's good. All the other terms are good. You want to stay? Great. There it is. Sign there. The only thing we can't give you is a Lombardi trophy. If that's what you want to chase and add to your case, then obviously that's not in the contract, which leads me to believe, are they still working on terms? Are they still hammering something out? Is that why Jim may be out here? to show like I'm about to leave if you don't give me what I want. What does that mean? I'm working on getting this man a new contract. Is there somebody who's pushing back at, you know, and on the Board of Regents or somewhere else? I didn't get that sense when I saw a bunch of them at the Rose Bowl a couple weeks ago.
I don't think anybody knows what this guy's thinking.
I don't know. Here's where I'm going. I'm going to stay positive.
Okay.
And I'm going to say this. Because if you had told me that within the span of 48 hours, Chrysler Arena would be home to, on a Saturday, a national championship celebratory gathering, and then on Monday would be the entire Fab Five's back in the building. Look at this photograph.
That's so awesome.
Ray Jackson, Jimmy King. Look at C-Web in his Michigan hat, his winter cap, and Jalen sitting behind Juwan Howard as he's coaching Michigan against Ohio State.
That's crazy.
I'm all in on this. So what's happening in my world? I don't know what's happening in my world.
You're doing something right, man.
I'm just...
Because that's a great moment as just a Hoops fan from back then, the Fab Five, what they meant to the culture.
Look at them back together.
And the uniforms, as I got to ask all those guys about their shorts, to see them finally put aside whatever beef they had, man, it's super necessary.
Jalen sitting next to C-Web?
Yeah, I'd love that. This is amazing. I'm so glad that they got together and did that, man.
I can't believe it.
Way past that.
In Chrysler Arena, 2 days after Harbaugh brings a national championship trophy in there. What the hell's happening? This is the great, like,
you're riding the wave right now.
I feel like every single time I see Taylor all the time, my daughter.
I would hope
she's
so.
She's now 10. Every single time I look at her, like you just say, that's crazy. Imagine being her dad, right? I look at her. She looks older every day. I look at her and I go, freeze. Freeze. You must freeze.
Stop.
And she looks at me and she goes, too late. Not going to happen. And just keeps walking. I kind of feel like I want to do this moment, right? Freeze.
Yep.
Jim's still the coach at Michigan. The Fab Five's in Chrysler Arena. Freeze.
Yep.
No? Are they still moving? Are you watching the game?
We just put it on. It's on Big Fox.
Okay,
right
here
now.
We go. Yeah, we just put it on. Oh, are you all right being here, Mike? I mean,
I'm working the next few days.
Oh,
no,
are you fine? Are you slumming with us? Are you slumming with us?
No, you just made it sound like, oh, don't worry, I'll be back there tomorrow.
I took today off on purpose. I like Mondays after playoff games.
Oh, okay. I'm so glad.
See?
We're so lucky.
I took today off from basketball, and I love to mix.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
I love to mix.
Appreciate it.
By the way, I love to mix, too. I love to mix. You know what I love to mix? I love to mix my national championship with my Fab Five. I like to mix them. I'm getting their mix.
As you should.
Woo! And Albert Breer is about to join us.
Breer's probably watching this.
Which one? Oh, yeah, Ohio State.
Ohio State's winning right now, actually.
Oh, really?
With 7 to go.
You know what? I'll take November over January, with all due respect. Well, that's pretty cool. The Fab Five is in the building, man.
That's awesome.
Okay. And so is Mike Del Tufo. Seriously, little piece of you wishes you were fading that thing, right?
This is completely BS. This is shame.
This is shame I'm here.
Great use of the Darko drop. Sorry, I didn't mean
this is shame.
How great is that?
Don't worry, we're ranked now.
How great is that? How great is that? Or it's not so great. I mean, I guess we should know ourselves. But we're sitting here going, they only fined him $25,000 for that? Maybe it's because they gave him a discount because of how right he was to complain about that. And then Chris Mannix comes and goes, no, that's the max.
That's the max, That's the max.
Unless he literally, like, once upon a time in Hollywood, blowtorches the place. They can't fine him more than $25,000. You know? Oh, my goodness gracious. What a world we're living in.
This is BS.
This is BS.
Outrageous.
That is a great drop.
This is completely BS. This is shame.
This is shame.
And I love the screen grab, too.
Outrageous.
He's like really feeling it.
This is where he's telling you Scotty Barnes is the face of the NBA.
What's up?
Okay.
I think that is outrageous.
What's up is the Fab Fives together right now in Chrysler Arena, 2 days after they brought a national championship in football trophy in there.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I'm obsessed with the fact that GQ has named Kim Kardashian Man of the Year. You're upset about it? I suggest you do better then.
If there were a Cosmo Woman of the Year and it was a man, how would you feel?
Well, that would just be lies. Name a man who's doing better than women right now and you can give him Woman of the Year. But until I see that...
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.